big fan of chicanery, jackassery, tomfoolery,
buttfuckery.
Buttfuckery is a good one. Yeah, like any fuckery, anything like that. Big fan of all that.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah. Just circumventing the rules, or as Joe Bluth would say, circumventing the rules.
To the Brews and Bruins podcast. My name is Cam Haswick, joined as per usual by Drew Johnson and Chris Gear. This is episode 57. Drew, talk about DraftKings.
Oh, DraftKings. Our home and native second round is in full swing, and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs so you can feel
the sweat
like never before.
This is the second time I've been on Twitter and almost missed the cue there.
That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each and every day. The best part is that it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's games and track your results throughout the evening. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your sweat at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. Head to DraftKings pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. It's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Beautifully done. That was a solid 8. I would say.
Hey, I'll take it. Yeah.
It's pretty drinkable.
Chill.
I can certainly taste it. Beers. Speaking of which, you guys are drinking beers. Yeah. I am not drinking beer, admittedly. I have a pretty massive headache right now, but drinking some lemonade, and it is both drinkable and tasteable. I also drank some Drew Johnson special Coronas earlier and some Labatt Blues for our Canadian listeners. Shout out Court, even though he's not a listener because he doesn't listen to our podcast, but it's all right. I still shout him out.
I think Neil listens.
Neil does. I don't know. Is he a little bat guy, you think?
I don't know.
You gotta ask him. Let's bring him on and ask him. If you're listening, Neil, come on and tell us whether you're a Labatt or Molson guy. Is there like a distinct favorite in Canada? You think it's like regionalized or anything? We should put out a poll for like, our Canadian followers.
It's like Miller Lite and then the other beers.
Yeah.
Which one's Miller Lite though? Which is clearly ahead of the pack, Miller Lite. Hope you're listening.
Yeah, Miller Lite's ahead.
Get a bleep Miller Lite till they sponsor us.
Yeah. Chris, what are you drinking? It looks like it's Bruins colors.
It is not.
Oh, it is partially. I saw black and yellow. Is the other side? The other side's got more black and yellow. I'm not crazy. I promise you. For all those listening out there, that other side is black and yellow exclusively.
That was pretty excellent. I've got a Modern Times Mechanical Moon Double IPA. Not a lot else written on here. So this one brewed in Anaheim. It's mostly a sandy area, but it's a double IPA. Yeah, you can taste it. It's pretty juicy. I'd say it's more like stone fruit than citrus. You got more like maybe like a mango peach kind of flavor going on. Taste wise, like a 26. Drew pulled out a 26 on episode 58, and
I haven't yet.
Episode 58, you mean the future.
Yeah, we're predicting the future on here. I'm going with that. It seems like a good number. And then as far as drinkability, it's an 8.3%, and like most double IPAs, is deceptively smooth. So I would say it's highly drinkable, but be careful, obviously. So we'll go 23 drinkability.
I think that's a pretty good rule of thumb for our podcast, is anything that's highly drinkable, you should probably be careful with.
Take caution. Brace
a little bit. Yeah.
Proceed with living caution. Examples. I've got a Allagash.
Allagash. Hey.
You haven't had an Allagash. You should have an Allagash. That's our sponsorship.
Sponsor us.
literally any beer.
Not to like ruin the potential sponsorship here, but of the Portland breweries, personally, I'm not a huge Allagash. They have like a very, very like Belgian white flavor. And if you like really like that, then you'll probably like it. But it's just like a little too, I don't want to say bitter, because it's not just pure bitterness. It's like a little flatness to it. That's something
spicy.
I don't, yeah.
Kind of,
yeah, which is weird, because I usually like those types of beers. But for some reason, the Allagash doesn't do it for me quite as much.
For me, it's because for a long time, I've kind of just associated this beer with Maine. Like when I've been in Maine, it's kind of one of the more mainstream ones there, and just one I've always seen and then drank when I was old enough.
Yeah, I think it's right in line with the Miller Coors favorite Blue Moon.
I do love a good Blue Moon.
Yeah. So as far as that brewery goes, I really like they have like a lot of wild yeast beers. I've definitely talked about it on the pod before, but like that collection of beers is really interesting.
Yeah. It's a good variety. One of the bigger, like kind of true said, breweries in Maine, or probably all of New England, I would say.
It's kind of like, it's kind of like out of the way in Portland too. It's not really on any main drag.
Yeah. 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 It's down on Industrial, which we were talking about with Pete. Go check out our Pete episode.
There's some sketchy stuff going on there.
AKA there's like four breweries right.
Wanna like publicly talk about our listenership? How are we doing? How are things since the Bruins got eliminated?
Still okay, last I checked. Like
hell
still
yeah.
Still we're
Thank
going
all
above.
Of you.
Well, see, we're going above last month, but that's because we had a sick start to the month. And now that Bruins are done, so there's less, and B, we had two atrocious episodes.
To be fair, most of them are, so.
The listeners for that are literally half of what we had during the month.
I'm never going to go listen to those episodes, because I honestly, when we released the episode, people were like quote tweeting it with things that were in the episode, and I was just like,
apparently. It was an experience listening back to you while I was editing it, let me tell you.
My dad said that was a hard listen.
We should put that as our official
retweet,
bio.
Retweet that episode with your dad's quote. Oh man, yeah. I mean,
make sure you attribute it to your dad too, so everyone knows that your dad said it was a hard listen of all people.
Drew's dad. Yeah, I mean, there are some things that were, I vaguely remember talking about like wedding attire, but it was like I couldn't distinguish between like what we talked about on the episode versus what we talked about with Kat after the episode.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like we had like a solid 2, at least maybe 3, I think about 3 hours after the pod, because that was the same thing where I was like,
I remember the clock on the thing was like 4 hours, because we recorded.
It hit five plus by the end. And we had recorded for the first
2.5 to 3.
Yeah. So probably 2 hours afterward. Yeah. It's a good time, though.
Yeah.
That's our Patreon.
I think that was like our agreement. We just like needed to just have that experience and grieve. And now we're back on track.
Yeah. You know, we're right back where we want to be. For sure.
Looking towards the
the expansion draft. I thought you were going to finish it off. I didn't think you were leaving it for me.
What a cue. What a setup.
We are talking about the expansion draft today.
It was a Ben Simmons alley-oop right there.
Smacked it right off the tee.
Hey, shout out my fellow 518er Kevin Herter for carrying the Atlanta Hawks. 27 points, 26 points. I think 27 in game 7. Highest score in the game. Pretty sweet. Also, Terps, but more local. I feel like the high school one is a little
localized. Did he just like follow you? Like, what's the deal there?
Yeah, he definitely followed me. We graduated the same year, and we're pretty much on the same thing. You know, I'm like struggling to crack AAA and MLB The Show, and he's winning game seven for the Atlanta Hawks in real life. So we're like pretty much on par. but yeah, you know, it's cool though. It's cool though. So good for him. But anyway, this is a hockey podcast. We are talking about the Boston Bruins and the expansion draft. Where do you want to start? I guess the first of all, the most reasonable place to start, I guess, is the Bruins have a number of unrestricted free agents that will obviously play a role in the expansion draft. And there are situations where they can hold off on signing them. And I was kind of talking about this with some friends earlier about, like, if you have somebody like Taylor Hall or David Krejci or Tuukka Rask, really all three of them, the Bruins are lucky, have expressed interest in coming back. Can you maybe like verbally work out a deal and not sign the paper until after the expansion draft so that you don't have to protect those guys? It's a little bit of a risk because somebody else could jump in there and
all that. I don't know if you can legally do that, but
I'm not sure what, you know what I mean? Legally,
it's all a bunch of wink, wink, nudge, nudge kind of stuff. I mean, Tuukka's already basically said he's not going to play anywhere else other than Boston. So I think that's pretty much locked in. You can wait until after the expansion draft for him. And I think it's pretty easy to explain to guys like Krejci and Hall. Like, you don't even need to explain it to them. Those are smart guys, at least we think, where they know like what the expansion draft is going to do. So like, if you sign them to something, they either have to be protected and take up an extra roster spot of somebody that they already know and have played with. And you know, there is a human component to it too, where you can go up to Taylor Hall and say, hey, if you don't like, if you want to sign here, like, we would love to do that. But if you do it now, we might have to say goodbye to like Jake DeBrusk because we're going to have to protect you.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what you see. I think you signed Krejci and Rask after the expansion draft. They even both, Krejci did too, indicated he doesn't want to play anywhere else. He wants to play in the Czech at some point, but he's like, my kids are in school in Boston, and I can't see myself playing, you know, in the NHL anywhere else. So,
well, yeah, he's gonna go. He's gonna go meet up with Jaromir Jagr and play out his 50s.
Yeah, I mean, he said he wants to play there because he wants his kids to speak Czech. He said his grandparents speak Czech, speak a little English, and then his kids don't know Czech, and he kind of wants to give them the experience growing up in his home nation. And so I think that's cool.
Yeah,
but like, win a cup with the Bruins first, please. Great.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
We need you.
Another cup with the Bruins first.
Yeah.
How are his kids like young still? I don't really know.
I don't know.
Check elite prospects.
Yeah, probably right.
Alaska. So
are you worried about somebody swooping in on any of them? I mean, I feel like the Bruins are fortunate that all three of them have expressed interest in coming back to Boston, and kind of exclusive interest, which is rare for any free agent. But I think especially for the kind of situation the Bruins have, where they have so many question marks, and for all three of them to kind of be already hinting at coming back, and really that's their only interest. I don't know. I feel pretty good about it. I feel like all three of them are guys that you kind of take their word for, which I don't know if that's naive of us, but I think that's like just their personalities from what I've gathered.
Yeah. I mean, hockey players in general don't like moving their shit. Like, there is no athlete that is more set in their ways than a men's professional hockey player. And, you know, when they say stuff like that, that is a bad negotiating tactic. And so when you say stuff like that, generally you mean it.
Yeah. It's calculated beforehand.
There are other reasons to say things like that, like kind of a preemptive, like, if the Bruins don't bring me back, it's just kind of putting the onus on them. Like, hey fans, like, this wasn't me, this was the ownership and or the management or whatever. But that's less of a hockey thing. Mm-hmm. Than it is maybe like a basketball or a baseball thing. I mean, the only worry I would have would be if it wasn't a flat cap, if the cap had gone up, if COVID hadn't happened and we were having a full expansion with, you know, a little more cap flexibility. You know, there are some teams out there that do have the cap space, to sign some good players. But the problem is most of the contending teams under the flat cap now are already having huge cap issues. So, you know, I don't think there's a team that's a Krejci away from winning a Stanley Cup has the cap space to figure that out, unless Krejci really wanted to go there, because they would have to blow him away with an offer to pull him from Boston.
So do you think Krejci takes the team friendly? Because I could see that. I could also see it from the perspective of he's finishing his career, wants some money. But if they can kind of sell it like, hey, look what Bergeron, Pastrnak, and Marchand make. I know those contracts were signed a little while ago, and Bergeron should be making like $9 million at least right now. But, you know, maybe stick with us at the same number or lower.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, as far as team friendly goes, like if you say team friendly contract for Krejci, most fans are going to be like, oh, yeah, like $5 million, like whatever Charlie Coyle's making. Because he's old now. But I mean, his agent can pretty easily just point at the numbers and be like, hey, David Krejci just had one of his best years ever. With and you finally put a winger or two next to him. Mm-hmm. And he's primed to have a couple more good years. And he isn't the type of player who ages badly. Like you can look at a guy like Jaromir Jagr, and that's obviously he's not like built as thickly as Jagr, but like similar playing styles in terms of just a playmaker, puck control kind of player. Not the kind of guy who relies on speed and like a monster slap shot, things that kind of go away with age. So yeah, I mean, it'd be pretty easy for his agent to come back and say, hey, like he was making $7 million last year. How about we call it like 6-7-5 and call it a day. Would love to see him sign for 6 flat, something like that. But you know, either way, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah, it's not going to be any lower than 6. It would. I expect mid 6 along the lines of Bergeron, Pasta, and Marchand. And
that what kind of term are you looking for? You think like
2 to 3, 3 to 3.
I think
yeah,
he
ideally 2. Yeah.
Well, so it depends on what he wants in terms of like whether he wants to go to the Czech Republic, like. Relative young, quote unquote. He's what, a year younger than Bergeron?
I think a year old. No,
he's younger. Okay, Bergeron turned 36.
You're right, and Krejci is 35.
Krejci's 30, gonna be 35 this year, this coming season. So, yeah, I mean, if he wants to go to the Czech Republic at the age of 37, 38, maybe he'll take a 1 or 2 year deal. If he's just trying to go there in his 40s and you know, slap it around, whatever, maybe he'll want a 3-4 year deal. I don't know if I'd be comfortable giving him 4 years, and then 3 years is kind of where it starts to get sketchy, but
yeah,
you know, I think ideally I would want 2.
Yeah, that's not to say he's not going to be effective in 3 years, but you're kind of gambling a little more at that. I think you pretty much know you're going to get next season, and even if there's a little drop off there somewhat, you know, you're going to get the year after that. I think looking at
ideally
years,
you're hoping for David Krejci to transition into the third line center at some point, but also we don't know who the second line center is yet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, last year, I think it's was obviously Coyle. And now after the season he had, it's a lot of question marks there. I mean, the kind
of I just looked up his player card on Evolving Hockey today.
Coils,
yeah,
it's not how it's promising.
Player card is even worse than like his charts look. Yeah, he was in the second percentile for all centers in the NHL this year. And it's both bad on offense and bad on defense. It was like second percentile on offense and ninth percentile on defense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have to, I guess, like watch more of him specifically, but I'm like curious about what the fall from grace there was, because he really was very effective last, I guess, two seasons. I don't know how you're gonna define the season still going on technically, but
I think it's probably partially line mates. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think you can just tank the whole, like, you know, Richie was great when he was power play and on that second
great,
line.
And
when he's getting fed,
and then you gave him a struggling DeBrusque. And he did good individually in the playoffs. Like, maybe that's partially because he was shining when there was two dull wingers there, but I think that has a role to play. Now that you can blame it all on Andre Kasha
comes into play.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, we're not doing this again.
No. Oh, but no. Imagine.
I know. I'm constantly imagining. The problem is it hurts because really it's never going to be reality.
Yeah,
it's like imagining I'm gonna win the lottery one day. Like I can think about it as much as I want to, but it's gonna happen. Like, is Andre Kasha ever gonna be healthy? Like,
but to put this in an expansion draft perspective, Charlie Coyle, no move clause, has to be protected. I think that would be an interesting guy to expose if he didn't have that clause, because he is making a lot more money than he's worth, and. But he is also kind of a shiny name, maybe like a reclamation project. And the thing that you could potentially do is entice Seattle to take him and see if, he'll waive that. But I don't, once again, hockey players hate moving their shit. So I don't see any situation where he would do that.
Yeah, and I feel like that would be one of his hometown team. Like, I don't think he'd give that up if he doesn't have to.
This is why you shouldn't be giving no trade clauses to third line centers, which is a lesson we didn't learn with Chris Kelly. No offense to him.
Well, they're expecting him to be second soon enough, but that's why you need Krejci.
Yeah.
For now.
That's not to say he can't get there. It's just
For sure. He just needs to have a season.
It's not
like
promising
he did
like
Tuesday.
It was last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of money is like, it's one of those things where it's like, if the Bruins were to somehow expose him and do something like that, like there's a situation where he gets picked up and plays really well for Seattle. And it's like one of those, it's like, it kind of happened with Vegas too, where it's like, oh shit, we shouldn't have done that. But then there's another situation where they pick him up and he doesn't do that well. And they clear a ton of cap space and Don Sweeney's a genius. It's one of those.
In fairness, all those guys who went to Vegas and became things were all like 24, 25 years old.
Charlie
Coyle's like sneaky kind of old.
Yeah, for hockey player.
He's like 30, right? He's like 29, 30.
I thought he was like 28, 29.
No offense to me.
Yeah,
yeah, Chris is offending himself out here. Let's check it out.
Why aren't you in space yet in your astronaut career?
He is 29 years old, born in March of 92.
So
March next season, 92.
He will be turning 30 mid-season. So we're at the point where it's probably not getting much better.
I mean, but again, he shows like a linemate situation like that, like where again he personally might not be getting better, but if you improve the situation around him, maybe he shines more. But
see, this is why you need Marcus Johansson, man.
Bring back Mojo.
Dynamic duo.
Marcus Johansson also famously had a terrible year this past year.
But they did good together.
bring the old magic back.
The human element. They were best friends.
They worked in like a couple games in the playoffs last year, and that's all we see. Okay. So, should we talk about like actual scenarios? Because my transition here was going to be like Nick Ritchie talk. Because if you do re-sign Taylor Hall, even if you don't.
I think either way you expose him. Seventh player award winner.
It sounds weird out of context.
But
expose.
Nick Ritchie's getting exposed one way or another. It's fine. I mean, like, he had a good half
a
season.
Exposed.
He had a good half a season. He fell off the fucking wagon. I mean, I don't want to like pile on the guy because whatever. He's like him having half of his season still surpassed my expectations, to be honest with you. Like, I wasn't expecting him to have half of a good season. So that's pretty cool. But he's definitely not like a critical piece of this team moving forward, especially with the kind of crux that they're at right now, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm just worried that it's going to be like the Cam Neely show up there where he's like, yeah, well, we got this big winger now and he can score goals and play on the first power play unit, and then they ink him to like three years, $9 million or something like that, and eat up unnecessary cap space for a guy who's gonna become a fourth line player.
I didn't realize he's only 25. They might spend money on that. I don't like that.
Yeah, so he's only 25.
Yeah,
so that was one of the things about trading Danton Heinen is that
he looks like he's fucking 33 or some shit.
But another thing, players like him don't usually improve in any tangible way. So he did have a decent come up this past season, and I think like what we got from Nick Ritchie in aggregate last year is what we're going to be getting from him or worse going forward. And if you want to plant him on that third line, Charlie Coyle just isn't good enough to support a guy like that. So I would say he is on that, on the cusp of being exposed. And I like, it's going to be him or Jake DeBrusk basically. And I feel like there are a lot, I would say expose Jake DeBrusk and see if you can get Seattle to take that contract. But think about that contract. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
And I think if you put him in his natural left wing on that third line, better chance of good results than if you put Nick Ritchie there.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely agree. I think switching sides on him wasn't too great. Didn't bode well. It wasn't doing him any favors. It was to get him in the lineup was what it was. But
he did better than Nick Ritchie.
Yeah, there you go. But still,
yeah.
On the right wing of that line, he was more productive than Nick Ritchie was on the left of that line.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be terribly upset if DeBrusk got picked, but if it's one of those two, I would rather see Ritchie go. I mean,
yeah, so it's
not that DeBrusk has like a massive 100%. Upside anymore, but it's still higher than Ritchie's.
Basically, well, we haven't really run down who the options are, but it's basically those two guys, Andre Kasha, who is probably going to be exposed and probably not taken, and Trent Frederick, it's in terms of forwards, and then like Connor Clifton and Jeremy Lozon are probably, and Jakob Zaboral are the guys on defense, and
that are all going to be exposed.
Well, yeah, those guys are all going to be exposed. From the forwards is going to be all but one of those guys basically.
Yeah. I love T. Freddy. He's in our fucking kitchen. Woo. But yeah, I would be very surprised if that was somebody Seattle had any interest in.
Yeah, I think he has much more value to the Bruins fan base than he does to any team out there.
Specifically our fucking kitchen. Woo.
Yeah, I mean, I think the guy has an opportunity to become like an important role player on the team. Maybe, ideally, I think fourth line center for the next year or two, and then if he does really come up, then third line center eventually, or third line winger. But I don't know if he's ever going to be a scorer.
No,
I think he's fourth line.
He's for sure an energy guy, and that's a useful role.
Yeah, I think the Bruins are really looking to just revamp that fourth line with younger players, break it up. Yeah, I mean, Crowley's gone. Maybe Wagner
gets picked.
Scratched
because I think you gotta go. Like, they re-signed Anton Bleed to a one-year deal, two-way deal, but I think that's indicative of, okay, we're gonna give all our young guys shots at that fourth line and serious looks at that fourth line, and I think that's good. I think that's really good.
I think that Curtis Lazar is a no-brainer. Just like Anton Bleed is a really good, like, anytime you need somebody on that fourth line, you got like a couple injuries or someone's struggling, just plug him in and he's fine.
You know what you're getting. It's not gonna be spectacular, but it's not gonna drastically hurt you.
Or he might score a goal like batting a puck out of the air weirdly on like a weird deflection. That's
sweet. Hell yeah. Like that.
I think if the roster were to stay as is, and I think the Bruins will bring in some more depth, but if the roster were to stay as is, and you take away DeBrusk or Ritchie, hopefully they would pick Ritchie in that case, then you could have Lazar go up to that third line, and I think that's good. It saves him, and then maybe you have a whole new, not including Chris Wagner, fourth line, because Corrali's gone, Wagner maybe is a scratch, Lazar in the third, and just fill that with Frederick and Bleed and Coolman, and let the young guys duke it out for and try to
Joakim
find
Nordstrom.
Something more.
Zach Ronaldo.
Whoever other kid they signed out of BU next year. Like
Brett Ritchie. Like any of the players who now
play for the
Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
Sign Bobo Carpenter, former BU, and get that done.
So not
from
to,
North Reading, that's why I say.
So not to steal any hosting duties from Cam, but I am curious what you guys would do if you were the Kraken, like take the other side of it, and who are you picking out of that crop of players? Like, assume none of the ones that we've talked about are protected, and assume Jake DeBrusque is protected.
Yeah, I think for me, I would go either. I think probably DeBrusque. I think
I said assume he's protected.
Oh, assume he is. Let me get another look at this. Probably it's got to be one of the defensemen, I would think.
Yeah, it's probably going to wind up being defense. So are Lazan, Zboril, and Clifton all unprotected, or are you choosing which ones you have to
protect? They're all unprotected because the Bruins have to protect – I mean, obviously they're going to protect McAvoy.
Grizz, Carlo.
They're going to protect Carlo. They should protect Carlo, and they're definitely going to protect Grizz.
John Moore. No, honestly, it's tough. I want to say Clifton because I love Clifton. And if I were to work for the Seattle Kraken, I'd sorry, that was aggressive. I meant to like cough, but it came out really aggressive.
I thought you were trying to hint at working for them.
Oh, yeah, I was. I was trying to go. But anyway, yeah, Connor Clifton. But I think they're going to probably look at Lazan or Zboril and think, hey, these guys have a ceiling here, like a higher ceiling. Maybe even they look. Oh, Vakanainen's probably automatically protected, right? Hasn't played enough games, I would presume. So,
I believe so. Yeah,
that's another guy I'd like check out if I were them. But yeah, so I really hope and think it will be Zboril or Lazan. I would rather Clifton right now, and not just because I'm so biased towards him, but because if the Bruins are trying to win it in the next year or two, who's going to be a bigger impact next year? Clifton or Lazan or Zboril? I'd say Clifton. Yes.
So the thing about the drafts, when we watched the Vegas one, I did a lot of just like looking at who's available. And I think the way that it turned out is Vegas just took a billion defensemen.
Yeah.
The and market ended was up, good. For ended them. Up keeping none of them. So I think in terms of Connor Clifton, like there are going to be a bunch of Connor Clifton type players available. Like you're not going to want to be taking third pairing defensemen without a lot of ceiling. So yeah, I think Lazan's probably the pick because he's got that maybe second pairing ceiling. Mm-hmm. But I really think the forwards are the group that, you know, maybe you could maximize that ceiling. And if Andre Kasha didn't have the wild injury history over the last couple of years, and honestly, like that, we don't even know if he's going to play again. So like, he's not going to get taken, but if he were a healthy player, then you're kind of talking about maybe protecting him. Cause I think that would be the guy that they would go for. And then, yeah, it's Richie and Frederick. And so, yeah, I think the Bruins are at the beginning of the season. I think we were all talking about like, wow, this is going to hurt whoever they take. Like, this is going to suck. And now I think we're looking at it as like the Bruins are in one of the best positions in the league in terms of not having one of their good players snagged.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing or a bad?
That's like good.
Equally?
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It means both the Bruins have a lot of important UFAs and that basically are ineligible free protections if they do re-sign. And it also means that the Bruins' defensive depth is garbage.
Yeah. Chuck Norris playing 40 minutes a night.
we didn't talk about Mike Riley.
I actually did notice that. I kind of forgot that he was free agent this year.
He's a UFA, which was by design. I'm not sure. By design, yeah, I think on that trade, because once you trade for a guy who's not a UFA in an expansion year, you now have to expose Brandon Carlo. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think I haven't heard anything about Mike Riley coming back. but I would love to see it.
I would like to see it. I'm not sure. I partially doubt it unless he's willing to take like real low pay. Like, I'd love to see him on that second pair, but I don't think they can afford to pay him second pair money right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
With like everything in question with the guys returning, and then you want to look at bolstering forward depth as well.
He's legitimately so good. I have enjoyed watching him play. He's, as we've discussed many times, one of the funniest players to watch on the ice. But if you look at his underlying numbers too, better defensively than I think most Bruins fans give him credit for. I think 76th percentile as a defensive player on defense. And then somewhere in the high 80s for offense. So good, really good all around defenseman. And obviously where you're getting the best out of him is from his passing ability.
Yeah, very ideal for a second line. It was awesome to see him when bought. I don't think they're gonna have room to keep him around, which kind of sucks because he really was an instant. Damn, this guy really is exactly what we were trading for, and it worked out really well. And it's gonna be sad to probably see that end so quickly. But
it's so funny though. Everyone on Bruins Twitter is talking about what left defenseman are we gonna go out and get? And Hags is talking about Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who's twice as expensive as as Mike Riley's gonna be. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
It seems kind of silly.
If you're trying to go out and find the guy that you already have, I'd be totally comfortable giving him $5 million right now. And I don't think his numbers this past year push him to a point where he's gonna go much past six, but if it depends on where he wants to be. So
oh, do we want to go to some listener questions?
Yeah, let's do it. Once again, just taking
Cam. Did you have something to say, Cam?
I was ready to go. No, I was going to say the same thing.
Okay. Question number one from Chanel at Chanel837. Great friend of the pod. She asks why. My answer is because.
I was going to also go with because.
Because was my first thought, and then 42 was my second, so... Those
shouts to Jackie Robinson.
From DF Pendries at DF Pendries. Number one, which player should people stop talking about being taken in the expansion draft because it's just not happening? Nick Ritchie? No, people aren't really talking about that. Jake DeBrusk.
I think Trent Frederick is the right answer that we
probably Freddie. I think there's a possibility DeBrusk.
Have people really been talking about that?
Maybe, but.
Yeah, so I think people are considering, they have any power over it, but people are talking about the potential of protecting Trent Frederick.
Waste of a slot.
When there's really no reason to. I think a lot of Bruins fans don't understand what is available from other teams. There's not a lot of top-end talent available, but there's a lot of really middle-of-the-road talent, and... A guy like Trent Frederick really doesn't rise to the top of that when you're considering a full roster.
Yeah, exactly. They're not just looking for a fourth liner. They're also looking for guys who are going to grow into their first liners. And Trent Frederick is not going to be a first liner or a second liner, be a third or fourth. And the second part to that question was, if there was a beer expansion draft, which beer are you leaving unprotected?
Wow, this is just hey, ruin a sponsorship possibility.
Just a beer you could do without.
Basically. So there was a time where my cousin lived with my parents for a year while he was doing an internship back in my hometown. And whenever I would go home and see my parents, we'd take turns DDing and going out to the local bar and trying new beers and stuff. And he was a particularly adventurous beer drinker, and he found a beer that was smoked ham flavored.
Jesus Christ.
And it is literally the most disgusting drink I've ever tasted. It tasted what I imagine hot dog water, like after you boil a bunch of hot dogs, tastes like. So I'm going to leave that one exposed and hope the Seattle Kraken take that one.
That sounds so bad that I'm going to also leave it exposed and hope Seattle Kraken take that one.
My answer is, if you're a diehard listener of this podcast for some reason, thank you, first of all. Second of all, you would know the white pumpkin ale that I had around, I think that was around Halloween.
Come up a couple times lately,
I'm pretty sure we mentioned on the last episode. So if you're a diehard listener who listened to an episode last
week. Who somehow made it.
After the Bruins have been eliminated.
Shout out Bruins Dive.
So that I would definitely leave exposed for mainstream beers. Bud Light, 100%. Get the fuck out of my face.
Wait, Cam, your little toss-in joke made me think of something. What if we created a competing website to Bruins Diehards called Brews and Bruins Diehards?
Brews and Bruins Diehards. .ca.
I already bought the brewsandbruins.com domain name. I should.
Oh, you did it.
Yeah.
Oh, sick. Check out our website, brewsandbruins.com.
It leads to nothing right now. It hasn't
been an empty, it's a vacant lot right now.
Could be yours.
That's just the site campaign.
Investors, possibly you.
Oh, also Chanel Keenan of question one of this episode fame saw a picture of us on Snapchat that I sent to her because I sent it to her and said squad. So
shout out Chanel.
More questions from Chanel.
Next question from Patrick Laverty. I'm really not, but thanks anyway. That's because we said we're going to be discussing the expansion draft during tonight's recording. Send some questions if for some reason you're craving answers from Chris, Cam, and Drew. I'm really not, but thanks anyway.
Shouts to you.
Love Patrick. From Polar Ginger, at Polar Ginger. If the Bruins had put Connor Clifton in for some shifts as a fourth line winger late in the regular season, would they have designated him as a forward and protected him instead of DeBrusk? How's that even work?
I honestly don't know.
That'd be sick. That'd be great.
I have no idea. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't do it. I don't think you'd need to do that, but
yeah.
No, that'd be great. I would love if there's some slip in the system. Like he played one game on forward, so now he's a forward.
Big fan of chicanery, jackassery, tomfoolery,
buttfuckery.
Buttfuckery is a good one. Yeah, like any fuckery, anything like that. Big fan of all that.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, just circumventing the rules, or as Joe Bluth would say, circumventing the rules.
Yeah, can work we please hard, work smarter, not harder? That's the thing.
Can we please edit that, Cam, for the cold open? And it's like, butt fuckery, any kind of fuckery. I'm a fan.
100%.
Oh no, I just said it, so now you could edit that. Oh god, giving him too much power. Nick Lanciani at Lancy53, great friend of the pod.
Who's that?
What would the Brews and Bruins boys trademarked take from Seattle as retribution for the expansion draft? I'm thinking the space needle.
Yeah. The Boston Space Needle.
I'm taking all the orcas.
All of them. Not all even leaving them in the field.
No.
Some cruel shit. It's cold. It's ice cold. Fuck Starbucks. We got Dunkin'. It's definitely a Space Needle.
The sad thing that I was alerted to, that I'm not a coffee drinker, so I don't have allegiances. My allegiance is to Dunks because
obviously,
you know, but I have recently found out that Dunkin' is more expensive than Starbucks now.
It's because you're paying for higher quality.
Yeah, there you go.
Hope you're listening, Dunkin' and Miller Lite.
100% Dunkin'. We run on it. Brews and Bruins runs on Dunkin'.
Just a friend of the pod, Connor Ryan, who is the biggest Dunks
who
fan.
Who is Dunkin' Donuts? He embodies it.
He's currently Dunkin' Donuts as we speak.
Yes.
Connor Ryan is an alias. His real name is Dunkin' Donuts.
Actually, it's just Dunkin' now. He doesn't have a last name anymore. It's just Dunkin'.
Yeah. To align with the brand. He's like Cher.
Believes.
Like Cher.
Yeah.
That was a sneaky, sneaky great joke on the back end of that by Cam. If you were intending to do that, I hope you were.
Oh, hey, in the future, if you are not on Twitter and want to give us listener questions, email us at brewsandbruins@gmail.com. There's no at symbol at the beginning of the email.
Just fucking please email us. Somebody, we have an email and nobody uses it. Just send us an email. It doesn't even have to be a question.
Like, whatever.
Yeah, fuck, tell us to fuck off. That'd be great. I would love that.
Can we get some emails in like the weird like word art text?
Yeah, the fucking weird groovy doobie shit. Yeah.
Like they used to do to avoid using handwriting, but just like do it for the aesthetic.
You
know?
Yeah.
Do we have any more listener questions?
No, we do not.
Okay, I got one more.
Are you a listener?
No, it's from
nice question.
Kaylee Rockcliffe. And she said, day one of me asking for a Brews and Bruins and Fake Doctors crossover since hearing Chris likes Scrubs. And then later said, the question we're all thinking is, which of the three of you has the truest guy love?
Of any guy?
Of the three of us. It's guy love. That's all it is.
I'm very confused. Is that Scrubs reference?
It's me.
There. Sorry to be the guy. I guess it's you, Chris. Congratulations.
I have the truest guy love.
Congratulations. Way to go.
Is that all?
All right. I guess I kind of could sing out to that. I don't know if we have anything else to say.